Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 27 of the 2024 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And look, we're only 8 days away from the start of the NFL draft. Recording this on Wednesday, April 17th, the draft, as I said, 8 days away, the 25th of April. Countdown's on. And what we're doing right now is we're actually walking through each of the positions. It's really an NFL draft by the numbers. So we take a look at each of the NFL draft classes over the last 5 years at each position and really talk through the dynamics there, how many were drafted in each of those rounds, and see if we can predict just how many players from each position will come off the board in this year's draft. I know analytics, they love the numbers. They like to play everything by the numbers. This is by the numbers, but a little bit different. We're taking a different spin on it, looking at the draft a little bit differently, looking at the history of the draft. In order for us to move forward, we have to understand the past. We have to understand what history has told us with regard to the draft. So that's kind of what we're going to do here with this podcast. We've done the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers. Now we're going to take a look at the tight end position. And what's interesting about the tight ends, since 2000, we've only had 26 tight ends taken in round number one. So even when we go back to the last 5 years, we've seen just four tight ends taken in round number one. Last year, of course, was Dalton Kincaid out of Utah going to the Bills at number 25 overall. Dalton Kincaid, look, he had a really a solid rookie season. He and Dawson Knox being that 1-2 punch for Josh Allen at the tight end position. But look, the star of last year's class was that number 2 tight end taking, number 34 overall, Sam Laporta. Look, the Lions, they hit a freaking home run with their draft picks, especially with Jahmyr Gibbs. And then, Sam Laporta. Laporta, look, he led all the tight ends. He, rookie record, played through injury. And he was one of five tight ends taken in round number two. So when you think about that, the depth of that draft, and when you talk about Michael Mayer, he's the starter there in Vegas, and then he was taken right after Laporta, and then seven picks after Mayer was Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State. He's now essentially the starter there in Green Bay. At 58 overall, you got Luke Schoonmaker for the Cowboys. He's ultimately going to get, I think, a much bigger role. He showed up well. Brenton Strange for the Jaguars there at number 61 overall. Look, he was a guy that came in as a backup for Evan Engram. Evan Engram, look, was one of the top wideouts there for the Jags. And so Brenton Strange, he does a little bit of blocking there. I mean, Penn State tight ends are known for that. But then he can also catch the football as well. You get into round three, and I mean, again, the depth of that class. Another three taken here, and you're talking about Tucker Kraft, filled in nicely for Luke Musgrave when he went down to injury. You got Darnell Washington, who I think the Steelers are expecting to emerge. And then the 49ers with Cameron Latu didn't really get much of a chance to see the field there. No picks in round number four, which is interesting because 2022, we saw six come off the board. That was really the sweet spot there for the 2022 draft. But round five, Josh Wiley, Will Mallory, Payne Durham, Davis Allen. Davis Allen, got to play a little bit there with the Rams. Same with Payne Durham. Will Mallory did make quite the impact with the Colts that I think they were expecting. Round number six, Elijah Higgins. Look, he was the big receiver that ultimately, really is a tight end. And then in round seven, Zach Kuntz, Braden Willis. Braden Willis ultimately getting to go to that Super Bowl there with the 49ers. He was taken at 247 overall out of Oklahoma. So a total of 16 tight ends taken in that 2023 draft. If we rewind that 1 year, no tight ends taken in round number one. That in the last 5 years, which is 2022 and 2020, where we did not see a tight end taken in round one. Trey McBride, starter there for the Cardinals. Round three, you had some interesting tight ends here. Jelani Woods, Greg Dulcich to the Colts and Broncos at 73 and 80 overall. Two guys that have been battling injuries, really haven't gotten a chance to make an impact. Jeremy Ruckert for the Jets. I think the Jets are really waiting for him to emerge as well. The Jets and tight ends, it'll be an interesting conversation here with this year's draft class with Brock Bowers. We'll get into that conversation shortly. But round four, man, I'll tell you what, you got some tight ends here that really have making an impact. And again, we talked about that sweet spot. 2023, it was the second round. Here we've got the fourth round. Cade Otton, starting tight end there with the Buccaneers. He's made a nice impact at 106 overall at the top of round four. Daniel Bellinger of the Giants. Look, this guy could do a little bit of everything. Charlie Kolar. He was actually taken at 128 overall. 10 picks later is Isaiah Likely of the from Coastal Carolina going to the Ravens. He was a little bit undersized, and so I think that was really the knock on him. He was more of just look. He's more of a wideout than a blocker. Charlie Kolar. Look, he's 6'7", has a lot more of those skills, but Likely beat him out as a backup to Mark Andrews when Andrews went down to injury. Likely was the one that was able to step up. But both of those guys, I think, will end up making an impact there for the Ravens. Sandwiched in between them was Jake Ferguson, taking one pick after Charlie Kolar. Ferguson's proven to be the starter there for the Cowboys. And then at the end of round number four, Chigakonkwo going to the Titans, 143 overall. Another guy, look, again, likely the starter this year for the Titans. So really a strong draft class there in round number four, 2022. What's the sweet spot going to be here with this year's draft? I think it might be round three. But we'll get into that conversation here in just a sec. You look at it, Cole Turner, Tegan Quatoriano, James Mitchell, Andrew Ogletree, Grant Calcaterra, John Fitzpatrick, Ko Kieft. So a little bit of a surprise, the blocking tight end there, Nick Muse. Guys that fill out the rosters, but haven't really made much of an impact yet. With the back end of that 2022 draft. You look at 2021, obviously that's the Kyle Pitts draft. Kyle Pitts taken number four overall, tight end taken at number four. The Falcons not shying away from drafting the skill position players at the top of the draft. Obviously, they go Kyle Pitts, they go Drake London, they go Bijan Robinson, back-to-back-to-back drafts. And the offense now with Kirk Cousins makes things really interesting, right? After that, you got Pat Freiermuth in round number two. Only two tight ends taken in the first two rounds of the draft. You had three in round three. Hunter Long, he's kind of bouncing around a little bit. He's now with the Rams. Tommy Tremble, really looks like he's probably going to be the starter there in Carolina, although, spoiler alert, we've got a conversation there. And then Trey McKitty, round number three there with the Chargers. And then round four, you got John Bates and Jacob Harris, taken by the Commanders and the Rams, respectively. But 127 overall, Kylan Granson, the undersized SMU tight end taken by the Colts. He's done a good job, stepping into that role that Jelani Woods really, wasn't able to fill because of the injury. Luke Farrell, providing some depth there for the Jags at 145 overall. Not much of a receiver, so obviously that's why the Jets were looking to get another tight end, brought in Brenton Strange. Brevin Jordan, Noah Gray for the Chiefs has stepped up there and played a pretty pivotal role there as a backup for Travis Kelce. And then Zach Davidson out of Central Missouri, 168 overall. No picks in round six or seven. Really an interesting draft. Only 12 tight ends taken in 2021. You get to 2020, fast forward 1 year. This was, again, we saw the Patriots make a run on tight ends in round number three, and it weren't those weren't the names that we were expecting to hear either. Another draft where we only saw 12 tight ends taken. Cole Kmet, look, we know what he's been doing there with the Bears. Hopefully he'll continue to have a breakout with Caleb Williams at quarterback. You get to round three, and this is where Devin Asiasi and Dalton Keene taking 10 picks apart. It didn't really work out there in New England. Josiah DeGuerra, there with the Packers at 94 overall. He's a guy, he's no longer with the Packers, but he got to see the field a bit. Really, it was Adam Trautman, the Dayton tight end in round number three, showcased his hands, especially in the All-Star games and the Combine Pro Day, really built his name up. Harrison Bryant for the Browns in round four, and Albert Okwuegbunam. These are two guys that they've been reserves, but they're now on new teams. Want to see what type of impact they can make there. Colby Parkinson, the Rams picked him up as a backup for Tyler Higbee. He was drafted 133 overall by the Seahawks. Bryson Hopkins, just three picks later to the Rams, the aforementioned Rams. And then Charlie Werner, right now the backup there in San Francisco, going off the board in round six, Tyler Davis of Georgia Tech, Stephen Sullivan of LSU coming off the board rounds six and seven as well. 2019, you know, we had 16. This is really where we got to see two Iowa tight ends. How often do you see two Iowa tight ends, really tight ends, period, from the same team come off the board, let alone in the first round? But that's where we saw TJ Hockenson come off the board, 8 overall, Noah Fant, number 20. Hockenson now in Minnesota. Noah Fant now in Seattle. We'll see what type of impact they can make there. Irv Smith has kind of bounced around a little bit. Second rounder there to the Vikings. Drew Sample hasn't made quite the impact in Cincy that they've been expecting. He's still on the roster there, though. Then you get to round three. That's where, Josh Oliver to the Jags. Jay Sternberger, I want to say he's in the UFL now. I think he was in the USFL. Now he's in the UFL. Kahale Waring out of San Diego State going to the Texans. Dawson Knox, there's the steal, man. 96 overall going to the Bills. Again, he and Dalton Kincaid stepping up in a major way there for Josh Allen in Buffalo. You get to day three, Trevin Wesco, really more of a blocking tight end, H-back role, from West Virginia going to the Jets. Foster Moreau did a lot of the dirty work there with the Raiders. Now he's with the Saints. Also taken in round four, you got Zach Gentry to the Steelers. Caden Smith of Stanford staying in the Bay Area, going to the 49ers in the sixth round. And then round seven, Isaac Nauta, Tommy Sweeney, Alizé Mack, Caleb Wilson, rounding out the group there in the 200s in 2019. None of those guys really made much of an impact at the NFL level. So when you look at the draft and we talk about really how many were selected, you're right around 15 over the last 5 years, and really over the last 3 years as well. Kind of an uptick because we saw 18 in 2022, 16 in 2023. What's the sweet spot for this year's draft? That's going to be the big question mark. But over the last 5 years, you're averaging just under one tight end because of those 2020 and 2022. Obviously, we're looking at Brock Bowers. He's your first round tight end. I think there's no question about that. 6'3", 243. He didn't work out at Georgia's pro day. Also, not at the combine, but he had his own pro day and he looked explosive. That's one of the things that you were looking to see out of him. The kid that went from Napa, California, wine country, to Athens, Georgia. And look, 2022 was his big year, right? 63 catches, 942 yards, 7 touchdowns. This guy's a three-time All-American. 882 yards and 13 touchdowns as a freshman. Give me a break. Insane. Battled injuries in 2023. Still ended up with 714 yards and 6 touchdowns. Back-to-back John Mackey Award winner at that tight end position, top tight end in America. And look, where's he going to go? I think for a long time, people were saying, hey, maybe he'll go to the Chargers. Chargers, they pick up Will Disley and Hayden Hurst. Doesn't really feel like that's the move, especially when receiver and tight end and offensive line, the offensive tackle position, specifically, are the two primary areas that I think Jim Harbaugh is going to focus on with his first two picks in the draft. But then you get into that Jets conversation. Because the Jets picked up Tyron Smith, because they picked up Morgan Moses, they've got two tackles. Now, yes, they are on a one-year deal, and yes, Tyron Smith has missed 34 games over the last 4 years, or I'm sorry, 37 games over the last 4 years. There is concern there, but this also means that they don't necessarily have to pull the trigger on an offensive tackle. Could they go Olu Fashanu? Absolutely. You also have Talia Sefuaga sitting out there as well. So there are offensive, even Troy Fatanu, another Elijah Vera Tucker type. But I actually like this pick with the Jets because look, you have Garrett Wilson and you have Mike Williams on the outside. Brock Bowers is the guy that you can split out. You can put in the slot, let him attack over the middle, let him attack down the field. This is a guy that I think will stretch defenses there for Aaron Rodgers. I think, look, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like to throw the ball to a lot of young guys. I think Brock Bowers will be an exception for sure. If he does slide past the Jets, then I think you look at the Saints at 14 as a possibility. I think at 15, the Colts really is that floor for him. So, that's really where I see Brock Bowers going. If you talk about him going number 10 overall, over the last 10 years, we've seen five tight ends taken in the top 10. So you look at Kellen Winslow. He was the first one in that group, if you will. Really, we have to go back to 2000. You know, not the last 10 years. We're actually talking back to 2000, so the turn of the century. Feels weird to say that, but Kellen Winslow, look, 6'4", 251 was what he measured in at the combine. Ran a 4.6 240, 33-inch vertical leap as well. This was a guy that, when he showed up his college career there at Miami, backed up All-American, Jeremy Shockey, his last year there, 57 catches, 726 yards, 8 touchdowns. You'll remember that Fiesta Bowl. 11 catches, 122 yards, and a touchdown in that loss to Ohio State in the BCS National Championship. Then you get to Vernon Davis, right? Vernon Davis, an absolute freak show. Number 6 overall, taken by San Francisco. And his last season, 871 yards, 17.1 yards per reception, had a 73-yard touchdown, 6 total touchdowns, 6'3 and a quarter, 254, ran a 4.3840 with a 42-inch vertical leap. I mean, absolute freak show, man. But those guys, you look at the production, you look at where they were at, you look at the athleticism, definitely on point there. Then you get to Eric Ebron, number 10 overall, taken by the Lions in 2014 out of North Carolina, his last year there with the Tar Heels, 62 catches, 973 yards, and 3 touchdowns. So another very productive dude, 6'4 and 3/8, 250 pounds, ran a 4.6 40. So you see right around the production, it's still holding up with what Brock Bowers is able to do. Brock Bowers is probably running sub 4.6 if he were to run the 40. Then you get to T.J. Hockenson, 2019, as we said, number 8 overall out of Iowa. And look, Iowa didn't throw the football a ton, right? But 717 yards, 6 touchdowns in 2018, 6'4 and 3 quarters, 251 pounds, 4.7 40, 37.5-inch vertical leap. Checking the boxes still, right? Then you get to Kyle Pitts, another freak show of an athlete. 2021 draft, number 4 overall to the Falcons. And last year, only played in 8 games, had that injury, 43 catches, 770 yards, just under 18 yards per reception, 12 touchdowns, 6'5 and 5'8, 245 pounds, was a 4.4 40. Brock Bowers, we talked about his numbers. You look at exactly what he's been able to do. His numbers are very comparable to each of those guys coming off the board in the top 10. So if you're talking about Brock Bowers, does it make sense? Does it not? History tells us that you have to be a special kind of player to be drafted in the top 10 as a tight end. Brock Bowers absolutely fits the bill. So you look at round number 2. I said that there were 5 taken in 2023. That was really the sweet spot for that draft. For that, we had just 1 taken in the previous 3 drafts, 2 in 2019. So you're looking right around 2 tight ends taken in round number 2. Is there anyone that's going to be selected in round 2 in this year's draft? I really think the only one is going to be Jatavion Sanders out of Texas, 6'4", 245. Jatavion, look, he's not a burner by any means, but he was definitely a weapon for Quinn Ewers down the field, a guy that was able to get open, physical, especially after the catch, 682 yards, only 2 touchdowns this past season. But look, when you have the running backs, Jonathan Brooks running the football, then you have Xavier Worthy, you've got Adonai Mitchell, Jordan Whittington at the receiver position. You didn't have to go to the tight end and focus on him too much, even in the red zone. So Sanders ends up running the 4.6940. He feels like the one guy, if there's going to be one, that we would see taken in round number 2. Similar to what we had in 2021, when we just had Kyle Pitts in round 1, Pat Freiermuth in round 2. I actually have him at the top of round 3 right now. I was trying to figure out where I could put him in round 2, trying to mock that. And ultimately, I've got him going to Carolina at the top of round number 3. I think Carolina, I mentioned Tommy Tremble as the starter. I honestly think they need to continue to surround Bryce Young with weapons. If you go with a receiver in round 1, I don't know that you're going to go at the top of round 2. Get that tight end in round number 3. continue building that group for Bryce Young. That's really where it makes sense for me. So if we're talking about round number three, you know, this is the first, will be the first draft in since in the last 5 years where we would have had nobody taken in round two at the tight end position. So history tells us Jatavion Sanders will be a second round pick. It's just a matter of exactly when that'll happen. I still think Carolina may be the pick. They may move back into round two to get him as well. So I still like the fit with Carolina. That's why I'm leaving him there, because my mock doesn't factor in any trades. But then you get into round number three, and each of the last three drafts, exactly three tight ends taken. Then we saw four in 2019 and 2020. So when we look at this group, if I've got three, I've got Jatavion Sanders, Ben Sinnott, and Theo Johnson. Ben Sinnott, K-State, 6'4", 250. This dude did a little bit of everything. He could line up at fullback. He could line up at H-back if you wanted him to. You could slot, he lined up out wide for K-State in the slot as an inline tight end. He literally did everything. And, over 600 yards through the air, six touchdowns this past season. And then he shows up at the combine and shows, some impressive athleticism. 4.68 40, 40-inch vertical leap, and then he runs a 6.82 three-cone drill. Now, you're talking about that 6.82. That's the same three-cone drill that J.J. McCarthy ran at 6.2 and 2.19. So you're talking about Ben Sinnott at 6'4", 250, gives you an idea of that athleticism. Then you look at Theo Johnson out of Penn State, 6'6", 259, overshadowed. When a lot of teams were talking about guys, Tyler Warren was the guy that everyone wanted to talk about there at Penn State. But Theo Johnson was quietly putting together a solid season, a guy that... he can block. I think of the group that we're talking about, he and Sinnott are probably the best blockers. Then you get to a guy like Jatavion Sanders after that. Brock Bowers is a guy that I think is getting better as a blocker, but still not quite where you probably want him to be. And then so when we talk about Theo, look, just 34 catches, 341 yards, but seven touchdowns. So when I think about the production, I think about a guy that may have flown under the radar. My mind always goes to George Kittle, because it's easy to do, because he wasn't taken until round number five at 6'4 and 250, 146 overall in 2017 to the 49ers. Runs a 4.5 240. 38.5-inch vertical leap, broad jump of 11, bench press 225 18 times. Tremendous, tremendous athlete. We know what he's been able to do. Theo Johnson, here's what's interesting. 6'6", 259. So a little bit taller, a little bit bigger. Ran a 4.57. 1.55, 10-yard split versus 1.51 for George Kittle. But 39.5-inch vertical leap. And then you look at the short shuttle time. Short shuttle, George Kittle ran a 4.55. Theo Johnson ran a 4.19. Just saying. Comparisons there. Theo Johnson, and you saw him there at the Senior Bowl. You saw the route running ability. You saw pretty crisp, stayed over his toes. Wasn't getting too far extended, didn't get too far out over the toes. He stayed on, right in line, wasn't slipping, falling down, anything like that. Theo Johnson, to me, is a guy that's going to be a steal in this year's draft. No doubt about that. So then we move on to, if there's going to be another guy before we move on to round number four, if there's going to be one more, because say Jatavion Sanders comes off the board in round number two, right? History tells us there's going to be three guys coming off the board in round number three. I think that tweener is going to be Cade Stover out of Ohio State. 6'4", 247. Look, there were no tight ends taken in round four in 2023. Cade Stover is one of those guys. I think it's that tweener. Is he a day two? Is he a day three guy? He's kind of in between. I really do. I think he's kind of in between there. This is another guy who's a solid blocker. He's a physical tight end. Good hand placement as a blocker. Weapon up the seam for sure. 41 catches, 576 yards, five touchdowns. A guy that had five touchdowns back-to-back years there at Ohio State, despite all the wide receiver talent that they had there. Cade Stover, look, that round four, he could easily be a round three guy. So, if we're looking at it, we're trying to match things up, then, what you'd have is Bowers, Sanders, Johnson, Sinnott, and Stover as your first and second day tight ends. Then you get into round four. Round four, history tells us, you know, last the 3-year average and 5-year average is the exact same at 3. But it's really weird because you look at 2022, we had 6. The very, very next year, 2023, we had none. I'm looking at Jared Wiley out of TCU, 6'6", 249, another guy who's a tremendous athlete with tremendous size. I mean, that's one of the things that you can say with this draft class. A lot of guys that are 6'4 and above. Jared Wiley at 6'6", 249, was a 4'6", 240 with a 37-inch vertical leap. What? I mean, it's absolutely insane the size that these guys have. And, you know, he really came into his own as a receiver there at TCU. Came on from Texas, didn't really get to showcase much there with the Longhorns at TCU. Even last year, the role was diminished to a degree, but really got to have a breakout year this year. 47 catches, 520 yards, 8 touchdowns. Now, I think a team like Cincy, you know, Cincy addresses like the D-line, receiver, you know that Duke Tobin's probably going to take a corner at some point on day two as well. Jared Wiley there in round number four feels about right. Is there any other tight end that we would take in round number four? Probably not. You know, Tip Ryman's the only guy that I could potentially go with. We'll talk about him here in a second, but I'm just not there. I'm just not quite there yet with him. So I think at the end of the day, I just think that Ryman's probably a gem, a guy that we're going to find coming off the board in round number five. So I think really, you know, we could stick in line with what we had in 2023. 2023 had zero. We'll have just one coming off the board in round number four. Then we get to round five. Here's another one that's really interesting because, you know, 2021, 2023, we saw 4. 2022, there were 3 in round five. Only one taken in the 2019 and 2020 drafts. So a little over 2 for the 5-year average, 3.7 for the 3-year average. What do we have in round five? I've got 3 to 4 guys that could end up coming off the board here. I mentioned Tip Ryman, 6'5", 271. And when you think of Tip Ryman there out of Illinois, you think blocker. I mean, same thing that you thought of with George Kittle, right? Tip Ryman, big dude. Just 41 catches, 420 yards, and 5 touchdowns in his career. For comparison, George Kittle, 48 catches, 737 yards, 10 touchdowns in his career. So I look at Tip Ryman, and he shows up at the combine, and again, 6'5", 271 pounds. He's got shorter arms. They're a little under 33 inches, but he's got big hands, biggest hands of anyone there at 10 and a half inches. Then he runs a 4.6, 4.40 with a 1.55, 10-yard split. And then the 7.02 three-cone drill, that's 200ths of a second slower than what George Kittle ran. Now, look, you know, he wasn't quite as fast as George, but look, he also put up 225 28 times. Looked like a natural pass catcher. Again, really a solid blocker. I think Tip Ryman could end up being, you know, one of those sleepers, that diamond in the rough. You know, a guy, George Kittle was taken in round 5, Tip Ryman taken in round 5. I'm just saying, it just feels right. Tanner McLaughlin is another interesting guy there out of Arizona. 6'5", 244, ran a 4.6, 140. So another guy that's, you know, showing a lot of speed. And, you know, his route running was not the best. You know, I think that's one thing that you could absolutely say. But this guy, even though Teterola McMillan and Jacob Cowing were on the roster, if Jaden Delora first and then Noah Fifita got into trouble, Tanner McLaughlin was the guy that was really their safety valve. He was the guy that was running underneath and a guy that he was always in position to make a play. 45 catches, 528 yards, 4 touchdowns. He was just one of those reliable weapons. And so I think that's one of those things. He's still developing as a blocker, not the most polished among the group, but definitely a guy that I think as a receiver, one of those guys that could end up finding himself on a roster and become one of those favorite targets when he's in the game because he just knows how to get open, knows where to put himself to be in a position to make a play for his quarterback. Now, you know, Dallin Holker out of Colorado State, he's an older guy. He went on that Mormon mission. He's 24 years of age, 6'3", 241, ran a 4.78 40, you know, which was the slowest of the group. But then he runs a 6.833 cone drill, 4.21 short shuttle. So in terms of the explosiveness coming in out of his breaks, you know, he's a guy that's probably quicker than he is fast. And with Holker, he had a breakout 2023 season for the Colorado State Rams. Transferred there from BYU, 64 catches, 767 yards, 6 touchdowns. A guy that just always seemed to find himself open down the field, getting behind defenders. It's that route running. You know, at the end of the day, that's really where he makes his living. He's not the best blocker, but a guy that I think could be a solid receiver down the field. Not the best athlete, but again, some suddenness there with his route running ability, and that's something that I think teams are going to be excited to look for here. So I think that's going to be interesting as well. So then we get to round number 6. So we got 3 in. We're right around that average there for the 3 years. 6, interesting, you know, here. 2021, we saw no tight ends taken in round 6 or 7. We saw just 1 come off the board last year, 4 in 2022. I mean, that's when we saw 18 tight ends taken. I think really the back end here with the round six and seven, you know, you look at that draft and you talk about some of the guys that were taken in round 6 there with, you know, Andrew Ogletree, Grant Calcaterra, you know, John Fitzpatrick, Co-Keeft, where are they in the future plans for those organizations? You know, that's a question that you have to ask yourself. 2020, we saw 2, just 1 in 2019. So you're right around 1.5-ish, 1.7 over the last 3 years. So, you know, there aren't going to be a ton of guys that we're going to see come off the board in round 6. You know, so that's why there could be another guy coming off the board in round 5. We could potentially be seeing tight ends taken in round 7 that I may have in round 6. But here are the guys that I think have a chance to come off the board in round 6. A.J. Barner out of Michigan, 6'6", 251. This is a guy that, you know, known for his blocking prowess. I think that's really the biggest thing. You saw that with him at Michigan, before that at Indiana. Jaheim Bell, Florida State, 6'2", 241. Look, this is a guy, he's not a blocker by any means, but a guy that you can line up all over the field, could be one of those dynamic receivers for you. 6th, 7th round feels about right for Jaheim Bell, just because, you know, what's his natural position? Where are you really going to play him? You know, the blocking still needs to come along. Ran a 4.6, 140. Not incredibly explosive by any means, but a guy that I think, you know, he showed off, you know, his ability to make plays. So I think that's really the big thing for him. Brevin Spann Ford out of Minnesota, 6th, 7th round guy, 6'6", 260. You know, he's big, he's physical, long arms, a guy that could be a weapon in the red zone. He kind of plods along as a route runner. 4.7, 740, 7.38, 3 cone drill. That shows up on the film. Not the most explosive guy by any means, but a guy that could be a weapon in the red zone. Really a solid blocker. And look, you know, Co-Keefe came off the board towards the end of round 6 in 2022. Brevin Spann Ford, a little bit of a better receiver than Co-Keefe. But a couple of Minnesota products coming off the board there in round 6. I think that makes sense. Then you talk about round 7. You know, you're talking about 1 in, you know, that's the 3-year average. We saw 4 in 2019. We saw none in 2021. Saw 2 last year. So how many will we see come off the board this year? Again, I mentioned some of these guys. I think Eric All out of Iowa, 6'4", 251. When healthy, Eric All is a really a good route runner, a guy that can make plays. The problem is he can't stay healthy. You know, the injuries, this last one was the ACL. I think before that it was the back. But at Michigan, when healthy in 2021, 38 catches, 437 yards, 2 touchdowns, only played in, you know, 6 games in 2020. You know, that was more COVID than anything else. In 2022, only 3 games, played in 7 games for Iowa, you know, 21 catches, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns before going down to that injury. Medical red flags are huge for him. Will he get drafted? Will he not? 7th round feels about right for him. Then you get into the conversation, are any of these other guys worth taking a flyer on in round number 7, or will we see them as priority free agents? Washington has a couple of tight ends. Jack Westover, 6'3", 243. Devin Culp, 6'3", 231. Both of those guys, you know, undersized at the tight end position. Jack Westover, I think he could, you know, kind of fills that void as a as an H-back type. Can line him up in a multitude of ways. You saw that with the Huskies, 46 catches, 433 yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, not a guy that was explosive going down the field, but incredibly reliable. You know, when Michael Penix Jr. got in trouble. That was one of the guys he went to. And then Devin Culp, you know, very explosive dude. Just 66 catches, 711 yards, 4 touchdowns in his career. But you saw him, you know, show up at the combine, and he ran a 4.47 40 with 1.55 10-yard split. That athleticism in and of itself may be enough to get him drafted. If not, then he's going to be a high-priority free agent. You know, teams just want to get him out on the field and see what he can do. Trey Knox, 6'3", 240 out of South Carolina. Trey Knox, look, he started out his career as a receiver at Arkansas. And, you know, he's still a work in progress. To me, he feels like a priority free agent. I don't know that I would spend a pick, a draft pick on him. But, you know, he has tremendous length, 34 and a quarter inch arms, longest by a mile by anyone in the combine. Yeah, I see him as a priority free agent. You've got Mason Plein, the big tight end out of Furman. Mason Fairchild, he's been a guy that I've talked about there at Kansas. I think Fairchild has a chance to get drafted, an outside chance. But I've been talking about him the last couple of years as a guy that, look, he was a weapon for both Jason Bean and Jalen Daniels, weapon down the seam. Over 400 yards, at least 440 yards in each of the last two seasons, 16.7 yards per seven in 2023. 16.7 yards per reception, I should say. 9 total touchdowns between the 2 years as well. A solid blocker for the Jayhawks as well. And he showed up and played pretty well in the East-West Shrine Game. So he's the guy that I think has a chance to get drafted, you know, in round number 7. And then McCallum Castles out of Tennessee. You know, this is a guy that really, you know, with McCallum, I think scouts knew who he was when he was at UC Davis. Then he transfers to Tennessee, and again, you know, 22 catches, 283 yards, 5 touchdowns there for the Vols. But you know, this is a guy, again, he's a little undersized. Where do you play him? You know, is he an H-back type? You know, that's why I think ultimately he's also going to be undrafted free agent, you know, which, look, you know, there are plenty of guys that make the roster as an undrafted free agent. So if we're scoring at home and we look at this entire group, you know, we've got 15 to 16. You know, I talked about Mason Fairchild. I think he'll be the guy to get drafted. You know, Devin Culp, if he ends up sliding in there, then you get to 17. That's one shy of what we saw in 2022, one more than what we saw in 2023, so it fits right into that average right there. You know, you bump that average from 15.3 up to 17 for the last, you know, 3 years, 2022, 2023, 2024. So it fits right in that range that we've seen over the last couple of drafts. Will Fairchild and Culp get drafted? I don't know. I've been trying to put together my mock draft a little bit more, trying to get that finalized and get everything out well in advance of the draft. And it's been hard to really find a way to get all of these tight ends, find a match, and find a way to get them all drafted. So I think 15 to 17 feels about right. So that's kind of what I see this year for the tight ends. And again, that's right in line with what we saw, you know, 3-year average, 15.3. So I think we nailed it in terms of that average. And again, like I said, 16 and 18 over the last 2 years, what brought down that average was 2021 with only 12. I think even if we get up to 17, we're right where this position is trending. So, I think this draft class, it fits right in there. Again, Eric Gall is another question mark. Does he even get drafted at all? So a lot of question marks there. We could probably see maybe 16 when it's all said and done with the draft class. And again, like I said, 15, 16, 17, we're right in the wheelhouse there. So we'll go ahead and put an end to the tight end podcast. Next will be the offensive line. We got the tackles, we got the guards, we got the centers. This has a chance to be really a fun year for the offensive line. Historic in many ways. Just so many offensive tackles. We see some interior linemen, some guys with five position versatility. Graham Barton, Troy Fatanu as well. They're talking about him potentially even playing center, which is mind-boggling. But you know, you look at the center or the tackle position. You know, is it Joe Alt? J.C. Latham is right there. Then you also have Olu Fashanu. You've got Taliese Fuaga. You get some of the younger guys with Tyler Guyton and Amarius Mims, Jordan Morgan. I mean, the list goes on and on. Kingsley Suamataya. And then you get in and you're talking about the center position with Jackson Powers Johnson. Zach Frazier is another guy that could potentially see his name called, in the top 40 picks. So it's really going to be a fun offensive line draft class. I'm looking forward to getting into that. I may have to break it up into two podcasts, but I'm hoping to get it into one. You're probably looking at probably a 90-minute podcast to get through all three positions, but hey, I'm looking forward to that. I'll get that together here in the next day or so. So until next time, everyone, for readyforthedraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week. And until next time, I